This is Digital Story Podcast number 638, June 5th, 2018. Today's theme is Scott Kelby's surprising printing talk at Photoshop World. I'm Derek Story. I was anticipating a number of topics covered at Photoshop World keynote address, but the importance of printing was not one of them. Yet, after the t-shirt tosses and Beatles parodies, Scott Kelby maneuvered from the importance of backing up to the even greater value of printing. The 5 points that he used to build his argument is the top story of today's TDS podcast. So there I was sitting in the big conference room at Photoshop World, and I was enjoying the morning. T-shirt tosses, and they were playing lots of Beatles music because that was the theme of the day. And then the show started. As usual with Photoshop World, there was kind of a lot of fooling around before we actually got to the talks themselves. But once we did, Scott came out on stage again and started talking about the importance of backing up. And so I was going, okay, you know, that's good reminder. We all should remember to back up. And he started going into the various systems that are available not only now but in the past, and then how many of them have since gone away. And if you used one of those systems, well, what do you have today in terms of your archive? Kind of going, yeah, it's not the greatest situation in the world. And then things took a turn, a very interesting turn, and he started talking about printing and how printing was the great insurance because it is device independent for backing up your stuff. And I thought to myself, wow, that's really interesting. I did not see that coming. And then he went on to talk about why printing is important, and he shared some of his personal stories. And in the very, I just love it, TDS style, he had 5 points to articulate his argument for printing. And I thought, well, that's perfect. I've got to do that on the podcast, right? I mean, this man knows his stuff. If he's doing 5 points to argue for printing, then I need to cover that as well. So I am. So here we go. So here are the 5 things that Scott Kelby talked about at Photoshop World to remind us the value of printing and its importance. Number one, connection to the viewer. So holding a print elevates the experience to a whole new level. And he talked about something that I've talked about many times, which is as you hold the paper in your hands, there seems to be, you know, a whole nother level of engagement. And, you know, there's a couple things going on here. You know, for one, the person is in control of how they view your artwork, which I think is important. They can hold it at any angle they want. But at the same time, while they're getting that visual information, they're also getting the tactile information. And that connection to the viewer with a print is so much greater than them holding your iPhone and looking at an image on Instagram. Point number two, stand out from the competition. And so then the story that he told was when he was shooting some NFL football, and he wanted to set up some GoPros for the, you know, the big entrance at the beginning of the game, and that the guy in charge of that really hated photographers and did not want anything to go wrong, did not want any interference. Ultimately, Scott talked him into letting him set up, you know, one little camera, and he got a pretty good shot with it. So instead of sending that shot as an email attachment to the guy that allowed him to do it, as a thank you, he made him a nice 13 by 19 inch print, rolled it up, put it in a tube, and delivered it to him at the next football game. At first, the guy didn't open it, but about a week or so later, apparently he did, and Scott got the most amazing email from this guy. So then Scott's point was that would he have gotten the same over-the-moon response had he just sent an email attachment of the image instead of sending him this big, beautiful print? And of course, the answer is no. We know that because we send images via email all the time, and we don't get, oh my God, all in uppercase, exclamation marks all the way down the rest of the line there. This is the most wonderful thing I've ever seen. We usually, at least I don't know, do you? We usually don't get those as a response to an email attachment. However, I could very well see that happening if we sent them a 13 by 19 inch print that was beautiful and that they did not expect. So standing out from the competition is point number two, and I think it is a very valid argument. Number three, impact, which is sort of related to number two. But a big print has far more impact than any image that we can view on our digital devices. That's just the way it is. You know, one of the things that I noticed that Scott talked about, he didn't talk about sending a 5x7 print. He wanted to send big prints. He sends big prints. And what I mean by big prints is 13 by 19 inch prints, which, you know, they're not huge. You can make bigger prints than that, but it's bigger than the average person is expecting to receive. And 13 by 19 is also a size that we can afford the printer that makes those size prints, right? A 13 by 19 inch printer is affordable. One that goes up to the next level, 16 by 20, costs far more and you use a lot more ink and the paper costs more and all that sort of stuff. So 13 by 19 inches seems to be the sweet spot between making a big impression, impact, as Scott said, and still being able to afford to do it. Both in terms of the hardware, the printer, but also the supplies. Point number four, and I love this one. I thought this was very interesting. A print has a value. So think about this, and this is kind of the way Scott framed it. If you were willing to pay $200 for a print to hang on your wall, so you're in a gallery or you're in a coffee shop, you're somewhere, and you see this print and you fall in love with it. It's hanging on the wall there. The price tag on is $200. And you go, don't really want to spend the money, but I just have to have it. So then you say, okay, you find the person that you're going to buy it from, and you say, I'd like to buy that. And if the person said instead, well, I'll tell you what, I'll take your $200, but instead I have this really cool flash drive that has a high resolution version of the image on it. What do you say about taking that instead? Now, I know what I would say, and I'm guessing that I would know what most of you would say, which is, no, I want the print. Why? Because the print has value. There's something about the print that has value. It is worth $200 in your mind, and you get it up on the wall at home, and you know, maybe for a day or so you'll have, you know, like, oh God, I wish I wouldn't spend it. And then for the rest of your life, you're thrilled that you have it, right? You're thrilled that you have it. And you can even say, hey, you know, that's worth at least $200, right? Maybe more. You never know. Whereas a high resolution version of that shot on a flash drive, quite honestly, isn't worth $200. It's, you know, for most people, it's worth a few bucks at best. So I thought that was a good way to illustrate the point that a print as a tangible item, as a real piece of artwork, has value compared to our digital files. And then finally, point number five, protect your visual history. And, you know, this is something that I also feel strongly about, and I've talked about it many times, that every year you should be making at least 6 to 12 prints of your favorite shots. Put them away in a safe place and have those there as part of your visual history. Make prints of family members. Make prints of, you know, the things that are really important to you. Because what our parents did for us and their parents is that they had prints sometimes in scrapbooks, sometimes in shoeboxes under the bed. It didn't really matter where they were. They existed. They existed and they could be handed to us, and then we could enjoy them. We could learn about our family history, and then we could pass them on to our children and to our other family members. So having that visual history protected through printing, again, because it is device independent, we could leave CDs, we could leave flash drives, we could leave all that sort of stuff. And who knows what will happen to them? Who knows what kind of shape they will be in? We know that most digital things degrade over time much faster than an image on paper. So protecting your visual history, your best bet is on paper, at least as far as we know these days, compared to the other technologies that are available. So you can imagine, as he's going through these 5 points and building his case for printing, how thrilled I was with this talk. I was just going, oh my gosh, Scott Kelby's up there at Photoshop World with this huge audience talking about the value of printing. And it really just sort of made my day. And, you know, big thanks to Scott for, you know, choosing that topic and articulating his argument so well. I'm really happy because it gives me the opportunity. All I'm doing, boys and girls, is just reporting on what happened at Photoshop World. I don't have any skin in this game at all, right? So anyway, the value of printing, these 5 points, great talk by Scott Kelby at Photoshop World. It was a surprise and a delight. The Portfolio Project, week number 5, James Batt, Wildlife Photographs. So as I mentioned last week, what we're going to do in June for Portfolio Box, TDS members, listeners, who create a pro site using Portfolio Box, I'm asking them to send me the link to their site via the contact form on the Nimble Photographer, and I'm going to build a directory of all of our member sites, which I think is, you know, pretty cool right there, having this directory, and I'm already working on that. But then once a week, I'm going to highlight, you know, one of my favorite sites from those that have been sent to me. And the one that I'm highlighting this week, the Portfolio Box Pro site that I'm highlighting this week, is by James Batt, and it's James, B-A-T-T, and it's his Wildlife Photographs. Now, the URL, I'm going to have all of this in the show notes. I always have all the links in the show notes, and this is no exception, both to the Portfolio Box site, but also to James's site. But you can probably remember it. It's www.jamesbatt.com, James Batt all being one word. And here's why I picked it. This site is just crazy. So James is a wildlife photographer, and his love and his specialty is birds. And so what he has done on this site is that he has set up his Portfolio Box site. He has all these different species, hawks, robins, wrens, all that kind of stuff. And he has them, you know, by their name. So, you know, if it's a certain kind of hawk or a certain kind of wren, he calls it out. Then you click on that link, and then you get a page of bird shots of that particular species of bird. And you're just going, wow, this is really cool. So now you're going back to the left side where he has all the birds and animals listed. And you're looking at this and you're going, this could really help me identify all these birds. And they're really terrific shots. And I was just thinking, what a wonderful use of this tool. What he has done, he has built a website. And I don't know how long James has wanted to do it. He had some nice things to say in the note that accompanied the link, but he didn't talk about how long he's wanted to do this and all that sort of stuff. But this is really incredible to have all these different bird species listed out clearly, and then all these different angles of these birds. So if you click on the American robin and you look at all these different shots of the robin, by the end of this page, you really know what a robin looks like and would easily be able to identify it in the field. So I'm going to hang on to this link, not only because the shots are so beautiful and James did such a great job with the site, but just as a reference, and I mean, before, you know, I go out doing my wildlife shooting or go for a hike or whatever, I'm just going to breeze through this and just refresh on all these different birds, some of which, hopefully, on the hike, I would see and then now be able to easily identify. These are the sort of projects that really get me excited when I see that all of you are putting these tools to use and you're combining your passion and your skill and your knowledge with really great tools. He talked about also that this podcast, as much as he loves it, has cost him a fair amount of money. He switched to Olympus. He has purchased some Apple technology. And I'm sorry, guilty as charged. I admit it, but I do it too. So there you go. So I'm in it with you on this. But the result of his investment, both in time and money, is this site, not to mention all the other stuff that he probably does. But this site alone is just, you know, very, very impressive. I'm very happy with our first featured photographer. We're going to be doing featured photographers all through the month of June. If you want to be a part of this, then all you have to do is set up a Portfolio Box Pro account. Make sure that you click on the tile or the link in the show notes, because that'll get you a 20% discount. Build your site. It won't take long, as everyone has been telling me in the notes that I've got. The hardest part is deciding which pictures to put in, not building the site itself. The site will build really quickly. It builds even faster than my Squarespace sites. Build the site and then go to the contact form on the Nimble Photographer and send me the link, send me a few words about it, and let me know what's going on there. I add that to the list, so your site will be in our directory list that will get published about mid-June, and I'll continue to add to. And then you also have a chance to be a featured photographer on the podcast. This week's featured photographer, James Batt, his wildlife photographs. What a great use of this Portfolio Box site, and you have to go over there and take a look. www.jamesbatt.com. Interview with Rick Salmon. One of the great things about being at any conference is, you know, running into the folks that you know and that you like. And I knew Rick was going to be there because he was on the faculty. And so I made it a point to seek him out right away. Rick and I are friends going back, quite a ways. So, of course, we found each other immediately the first night in the bar. Of course, we had a good talk, and he was telling me about his new book. Now, I had known about the book, and it's called The Route 66 Photo Road Trip. I had known about it because he had sent me email about it and wanting me to take a look at it. So I thought, okay, I want to take a look at it and I want to talk to you about it. And then I was thinking, why don't we talk about it and record it at the same time? So that's what I've done. And it was pretty funny. We set it up, and this is just a nice short little interview. It's about 8 minutes long. I think you'll enjoy it. But my opening question was to Rick, Rick, why do we need another book about Route 66? So here's what he had to say. Rick, I really appreciate you taking time out because I want to talk about your book, man.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. I really respect you and I love your work, so thank you again.
So I got to ask you this question right off the top. You did a book on Route 66 with your wife.
Yes.
This book is way cool, and I'll talk a little bit about why I like it. But let me ask you the question that your son asked you, which is, who needs another book on Route 66, right?
Well, I think here's why we wanted to do it. I think if you photograph what you love, you can do a good job. So I love Route 66. We went on Route 66 about 5 years ago, and I was thinking maybe do a book. So I pitched one of my publishers. I have five books with W.W. Norton, and I pitched them on it, and they said the same thing. Who needs another book on Route 66? Well, I said, a lot of books out there are just travel books, or they're just photography books. So this is a travel book and a photography book. So it has iPhone tips in it that my wife put in there, a digital SLR and mirrorless tips. It has where to stay, where to eat, where to have fun, where's the best locations. And in the back, we have what's called the driver's log. So we tell people where we went, and the book goes through this, as you saw last night when you were reading it. It tells you how far it is to the next destination. So, yes, having a GPS is great. Having an iPhone is great. But, you know, I think what a book does that you could hold in your hand, it puts you more in touch with the scene, and you could just close it and put it down, and you don't have to power up your phone. And if there's no service, some places on Route 66, there's no service. So, and I think, you know, you said that when you read it that it was fun, and we tried to make it really fun because I think Route 66, hands down, the prime cut, which is what this is a book is about in Arizona, New Mexico, and Nevada, I think it's the best road trip.
Absolutely. And so there's a couple things here. First of all, road trips are a blast.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're self-contained. No TSA.
Yes. You're self-contained, and road trip, in your case with your wife or with your, you know, someone that you care about, your family, whatever, you know, they are different than any other activity that you can do. And Route 66, which, you know, runs east-west, basically it starts in California because I lived right off of that portion of Route 66. And it goes, what?
It goes up to Chicago,
up to Chicago. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a tremendous historic route. Frozen in time in some spots.
Basically, in a lot of spots. But the thing is, there is no official Route 66. When they built I-40, it killed Route 66, which is a way to get from the East Coast out there to the West Coast. So you're driving along I-40 and you see these brown signs, historic Route 66. So once you get off that interstate, like you just said, you are back in time. You have these old Art Deco hotels. You have the neon lights. You have the old cars. You have people. It's really magic. It's really a magical thing. There's like a romance to being on Route 66.
Some of my favorite shots in the book are of motels. I mean, these hotels are something.
Oh, like
they?
The Blue Swallow Motel cover with the neon lights. And actually, we met a guy in Albuquerque. He makes all the neon signs for all the hotels. Even today, he's been doing it for like 20 years. But, you know, technically, photographing these hotels with the neon lights is, you want to get an interesting picture. So you want the lights on, so people say, oh, night shot. Well, as you know, the best time to take a night shot is not at night.
It's twilight.
You want that blue light or sunrise when they're still on.
Right.
So I did a lot of HDR photography there, high dynamic range photography, bracketing my exposures. What I was trying to do is make it look real. I didn't want to overprocess it. So with the HDR, I was able to get the lights, could see inside the buildings in some cases, and have a beautiful light in the sky.
Right. Now, you know, one thing I want to bring up while we're talking about road trip, Route 66, all this kind of stuff, being in the car. This is a book that I can see, like, on the seat, you know, next to you as you're driving.
It's your friend.
And the way that the book is designed physically, it really lends itself to that because you have this cool cover. What's the bounding in cover?
Yeah, it's called Flex Bound.
Okay.
It's not a hard cover. It's not a soft cover. It's kind of like a firm, soft cover that's very flexible. So it's kind of like a journal or a handbook.
Yes.
And it has a very warm feel. Scott Kelby, you mentioned this. You know, he was talking about the importance of making prints today.
Mm-hmm.
That you give someone a print, don't look at their eyes. He said, look at their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in touch with it. So I think a book, even though the Route 66 book is available by Kindle, I recommend getting the hardcover book.
I would absolutely recommend getting the hardcover book. It just feels like, I have to tell you, doing Route 66 with a Kindle version of the book just feels wrong to me. There's something wrong there. You have to have this book. And even the way the cover has that lip that comes, you know, a little past the pages, you know, that guidebook feel. It is. It belongs in the car while you're on the trip. Now there is a lot of photography tips in there, and you want to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the things, and also the iPhone stuff too.
Well, you know, I'm talking about HDR. I'm talking about processing in there, and I'm talking about, you know, the exposure triangle. Mm-hmm. You know, how to get the best shot. Thinking about the ISO, the aperture, and the shutter speed. And Susan is giving iPhone tips. Not only iPhone tips, but she has every iPhone app out there. You know, do you know Distressed FX?
I don't.
Distressed FX is amazing. Put these beautiful textures and colors in there. But she has Lightroom Mobile. So she has, you know, all these different apps. Black and white. There's a black and... Do you use any black and white apps?
I do. Well, I usually use black and white filters.
Yeah. She does amazing things. She has this one where it's called the Ansel effect.
So
she's having a lot of fun with this, and I think that fun comes through in the photography. A lot of times, you know, if you want to make a big print, right, especially in low light, The iPhone's getting better at it, but as you know, iPhone, like the neon lights and low light, you know, it's not going to be the best. But I think that, that for a husband and wife, you know, a lot of couples, you know, the one part of the couple is really serious about the photography. The other one might have the iPhone.
Yeah.
So I think this book is good for, you know, a team like that.
I do too. And the other thing that I like about it is that there's actually shots of you in the book.
Well, I want to show people how much fun we have. I have a shot of Susan doing selfies and me cleaning the window. Because it's like you were saying before, there's no TSA line. There's really no stress on a road trip. Although we have the itinerary, if you go off the itinerary, that's fine.
So this book is available everywhere. In fact, it's killing on Amazon.
Yeah, it was released May 15th. And every day since it was released, it's been number one in the travel pictorial category.
Okay.
But there's probably a few reasons for that. One being, and I offer this advice to any author out there, you have to do your own PR. So I'm doing a lot of PR on that. You know, it used to be publish or perish, right? Today is socialize or succumb.
Yeah, there you go. That's so, absolutely true.
So I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. You know, but. Another piece of advice, you just can't, you know, go on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and say, buy my book.
Right.
You have to give a tip. So if I'm giving like talking about the book and the hotels, I'll be talking about you should really use HDR. So I try to make a lot of my posts educational.
Excellent. So I'm going to have a link to the book in the show notes.
Okay.
And the official title is?
The official title is Route 66 Road Trip, and it's a guide to where to shoot, how to shoot, eat, and play like a professional.
There you go. All right. Awesome. Thank you so much, Rick. Great book.
Thank you so much, Derek.
All right, that was pretty fun. I hope you enjoyed it. I think the book is terrific. I have it with me. As I mentioned in the interview, I just love the binding on it. I love the way it feels. Now I want to take a drive on Route 66 and have this book on the seat next to me. That's what I want. So anyway, there's a link to the book on Amazon in the show notes. You can click over there, take a look at it. And if you like what you see, which I think you will, go ahead and buy it because Rick and his wife, Susan, have done a great job with this. We have a signed print winner. Just as promised, you know, this was a fun thing that we did over the month of May, which is that if you went and listened to one chapter of any of my titles on either lynda.com or LinkedIn Learning, then you were eligible for the drawing, and I used the random number generator for the drawing to win a signed print. And the signed print is that what I think is a pretty cool shot from the Maui project where I shot it on film and then I printed it on Red River paper, and it is the surfboard shot. So, so who's our winner? You know, here I am babbling on. I haven't said who the winner is. The winner is Craig Tooley. Craig Tooley, what did he say here? I very much enjoyed your title on Luminar, Mastering the Basics. As with all of your titles, very well done. Okay, just the fact that he gave me a compliment had nothing to do with it. Again, random number generator. So congratulations to Craig Tooley, who will receive the signed print from the Maui Project. Craig, I'll be getting in touch with you, and we'll get you that print as soon as possible. And thanks to everyone who participated in this. I got some great notes from folks. It was really interesting to see, you know, which titles you listened to, you know, which things were of interest to you, and your comments about them. It's probably something that we will do again before too long. But a big thanks to everyone who participated. It was a lot of fun for me, and I hope you enjoyed it as well. Okay, I have a few updates for you. First of all, to our Inner Circle members, guess what? You've got some more goodies coming to you very soon. I'm a little, just a hair behind this month because I was on the road for the last week when I would normally be preparing your bonus content. I'm going to be putting that movie together for you, not this week, but next week. This week, I'm getting ready for our workshop. We have our aerial Photography Workshop. That is going to be a blast, where we do drone photography and we do Hot Air Balloon Festival. So I need to do the finishing touches to get ready for that event. And then we start later this week. But next week, I'm going to be putting together the content for our Inner Circle members. And this time, the movie is going to be a behind-the-scenes movie from our San Francisco workshop during the model shoot in Chinatown. So that's what you have coming your way. I'm going to send you a notice also on Patreon, so you'll know exactly when that goes up, and you'll be able to watch it then, and I hope you enjoy it. Just one of the ways that I like to say thank you for your support, and more to come in your inbox about this week's bonus content. And finally, a big shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. Yes, what a great week for Red River Paper. And they probably didn't even know it because they weren't at this particular show. But I loved all this chatter about printing. I loved how Scott Kelby articulated his thoughts about printing. You know how I feel about it. The signed print that I'm going to deliver to Craig Tooley is on Red River Paper. And I just think that it is one of the most wonderful things in photography is to actually put your images on paper. And in my case, always on Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. Click on that. You go to our landing page there. You can find out anything that you want to find out about printing and get all your supplies, both paper, ink, envelopes, the whole deal. It's all there. And they also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Great supporters of the digital story, and I'm just happy to have them on board. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. Boy, that trip to Orlando really was interesting. I got to work with the Skylum folks. I got to see some of my old friends there. Got to listen to some great talks. It was just, you know, really productive. Really enjoyable. And I'm working on some stuff for next week. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I may talk about next week is what we learned as a group during this aerial photography workshop that starts on Friday right here. So I'll probably have a little bit of that. I've got some other goodies that I'm working on. It should be a terrific show next week. Come back and join me. Until then, have a great week. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.